Good morning. It's good seeing all of you. And as you can tell, I'm not Pastor Aaron. The resemblance is uncanny. I know we get that a lot. But I'm really honored to be able to preach this morning. And last Monday was actually a year ago since me and Sarah came out to candidate for the youth pastor job. And as you can tell, it went well. We're here and we've been part of the staff and part of this family for 9 months already. It's been a true blessing and honor. So thank all of you for just being so welcoming and loving towards us and making this a smooth transition. Last week, Pastor Aaron finished the temptation series, and he ended by mentioning how Paul had a thorn in his side and how God told him his grace is sufficient. And he didn't know it last week, but I was planning on preaching about it this Sunday. So this is a standalone message, but somehow God made a way for it to flow smoothly. So for today's message, I've titled it Sufficient Grace for Insufficient Times. We're going to start by looking at the main passage for today, which can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and then we'll jump to verse 6 through 10. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we get to gather here today and look into your word, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts and our ears to what you have to speak to us, Lord, and that's not my words that go forward, but that's your words. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this message, we're going to be taking a look at this passage and what it means that God's grace is sufficient. But first, I want to look at, as we dive into the text, why does Paul talk about boasting? It's important to realize and understand the context to better understand this truth. So we're going to jump a chapter before this and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at a few verses as to why Paul is boasting. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. But I don't consider myself inferior in any way to these super apostles who teach such things. I may be unskilled as a speaker, but I am not lacking in knowledge. We have made this clear to you in every possible way. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you think you are so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, takes control of everything, and slaps you in the face. I'm ashamed to say that we've been too weak to do that. But whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again, I dare to boast about it too. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. I love this passage because Paul keeps calling himself a fool for boasting. He goes on and on, but then he keeps calling himself a fool. And reading this, you can tell that Paul doesn't like to boast or doesn't want to, but he has plenty to talk about. But why is he acting like a fool and boasting so much? Were there these false prophets, these super apostles, going around who spoke better than Paul and were swaying the people to accept less than the true, full gospel of Christ? Paul is arguing that he is just as qualified of them, if not more. That's why he takes a moment to boast about several things. He proves himself to the church in Corinth that he is a legitimate apostle of Christ. And I want us to note that this does not give us reason to boast about ourselves just because we feel like no one is listening or taking us seriously. Paul says that he'd rather boast in the things that show him to be weak. Because we know from reading chapter 12 that in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. He transitions from chapter 11 to chapter 12 with all this boasting, and he says that to keep himself from becoming conceited and proud, he was given a thorn in his flesh. He gives us many reasons he could have boasted to stay somewhat popular, but he says he's been given this thorn so that he doesn't become conceited like these super apostles. And we see in chapter 12 that he pleaded with God 3 times for this thorn to be removed from his side. But each time, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." God's grace is sufficient for you. And since Paul is the one who wrote this and had this spoken over him, he has a lot of different experiences proving this to be true. We're going to look into some stories in Paul's life where God's sufficient grace met his insufficient times. Let's first look at the definitions of grace and sufficient so we can better understand this truth. The definition of grace, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification, approval, favor, mercy, and pardon. God's unmerited divine assistance. Unmerited being, we didn't deserve it. He didn't have to give it to us. He didn't have to show us grace. He didn't have to approve of us or show favor or show mercy on us. But he still gave it to us. For our regeneration and sanctification, just meaning that he gave himself for our salvation so that we can continue being made holy by God's Spirit. The definition of sufficient, also from the Merriam-Webster, is enough to meet the needs of a situation or a proposed end, qualified and competent. So, put all together, God's unmerited divine assistance is given to us for our regeneration and sanctification, for our approval, mercy, and pardon, and it is qualified and enough to meet the needs of our situation. God's grace is enough to cover our needs and situations. No matter what you're walking through, dealing with, experiencing, God's grace is enough to cover it and take care of it, and it's for you. So knowing this, let's see how it's played out in the life of Paul. The first passage I want to look at is Acts 9, verses 1 through 6, and then we'll jump to 10 through 12. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation and the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." The Lord said, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went and found Paul, and he laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. This passage leads to my first point. God's grace is sufficient to save. This is the beginning of Paul's new life and what would usher in his ministry. He has an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life has changed forever. He was going around persecuting Christians, throwing them in jail, and even killing them. But he was going to be a special instrument chosen by God. He is prayed over, healed, saved, and he gets baptized. God could have chosen to have justice for those thrown in prison and even killed. But God's way is so much better. His grace was enough to save Paul from eternal death. And because he lavished his grace on Paul, so many have come to know Christ. So many churches started. Most of the New Testament is written, all because of God's grace. And if God can save Paul, a murderer and persecutor, God's grace is sufficient to save you. No matter your past or your current situation, you're not too far gone, it's not too late, and you're not too deep into it. Let's look at another pretty well-known story found in Acts 16, verse 16 through 19. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered, so they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown in prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. This story leads to my second point. God's grace is sufficient to rescue. Paul here is on his second missionary journey at this point of his story. Him, Silas, and other believers are in Philippi, and they go down to the house of prayer. This slave girl who is possessed starts following them. Now, this always intrigued me and interested me because this girl is not saying anything wrong. She's saying that they're servants of the Most High God, which is true. And she's telling the people that Paul and Silas are telling them the way to be saved, which is also true. But she was shouting and being a distraction, and Paul got so tired of it that he cast the demon out of her. But this demon-possessed girl was a way for her masters to gain a fortune off of her. The masters didn't like this because they just lost a big source of income. So they start an uproar. They have Paul and Silas beat, and they throw them in prison. But God's grace is sufficient to rescue them. God's grace is not only sufficient to rescue them out of the prison, but to rescue the slave girl who was demon-possessed and to rescue the jailer and his entire household. Sometimes we have things happen in life to us that leave us confused, frustrated, have us wondering where God is, leave us in pain and suffering. If I were Paul and Silas, I would be very confused. But did you see their reaction as we read the passage? They were praying and singing hymns. They knew who their God was, and despite their situation, they trusted him. And because of their obedience to spreading the gospel, they were rescued from prison, and more people were added to the body of Christ because of their obedience. Sometimes we get these thorns in our side. Sometimes life is too much to handle. But God has a plan and purpose through everything. He turns everything for the good of those who love him. His grace is sufficient to save and to rescue. We're going to look at one more story, and we've already read it. So let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. "Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one would think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. My third point is this: God's grace is sufficient for you. Paul has done so many great things in Jesus' name. He's also received many revelations and visions from God. Paul was in tune with everything about God, and he was given this thorn in his side, a messenger from Satan, to keep him from being conceited. We truly don't know what this thorn is. Some have debated and said it has been temptations. Others say eye problems or other physical ailments. Some even think it was this person named Alexander the Coppersmith, which was a real person and is mentioned in 2 Timothy 4:14, where Paul says, "Alexander the Coppersmith did me much harm." So, we don't know what this thorn was, if it really was a physical ailment, emotional ailments, temptation, or this Alexander guy. But we know it served two purposes: to keep Paul from being prideful and conceited, and so that God's power would be made perfect. God's grace is sufficient for you, to save you, to rescue you, to heal you. God's power is made perfect in weakness. No matter what you're going through, whether it's physical ailments, whether you're having emotional troubles, mental troubles, or you're having an Alexander in your life that just keeps beating you down, His power will be made perfect in your weakness. Now, at face value, at least to me, this doesn't make sense. How can God's power be made perfect in weakness? Aren't those opposites? How do you gain power when you're weak? Well, that's how God works, and sometimes it simply won't make sense. But when we come to the end of ourselves, there's no room for us. But now there's room for God to step in. Sometimes we try to do it ourselves, try to do it in our own strength. But I don't know about you, when I try to do that, I fail again and again. When we are weak, we can allow God's strength to come in. And to help us understand this a little more, it is possible for strength to come from weakness. One example I'm going to share with you guys this morning is our muscles. When we work out, when we lift weights, run, cycle, anything like that, there are fibers holding our muscles together, and when we work out, there are these microscopic tears that happen in our muscles. The process of repair and adaptation following the damage is what leads to increased strength and muscle size. Exercise-induced muscle damage, including these microscopic tears, trigger the body's repair mechanisms, ultimately resulting in muscle growth and increased strength. So, if you want to tone up, gain muscle, or just get stronger, we know we need to work out. And as you do that, the fibers will tear, but then they grow back, repairing themselves to be stronger and greater. Now, we know what also comes along with working out and breaking these fibers. I don't know about you, but I get sore the day after I work out. Sometimes I do it wrong, and I'm sore for weeks on end. After we lift weights, or go for a run, or swim, or anything else, usually you'll feel sore the day after, and you feel even weaker than when you started. But in that weakness, your strength is being made whole. If these fibers weren't broken, they wouldn't be able to grow back stronger and help you to grow. We might feel sore, weak, tired, and sometimes even just want to give up and never work out again. But in this whole process, even though there's pain and weakness, our muscles are getting stronger and growing. Our spiritual life is similar to this. We're going to encounter times and trials that make us feel hurt, make us feel weak, that will test us and leave us hurt. But God's grace is sufficient for every situation, and His power will be made perfect in your weakness. If we didn't have these times, we wouldn't be growing stronger in our faith. We wouldn't see God's power in our life. So, where do we need His grace in our lives today? Is it in your marriage, in your work life, in your friendships, while you're driving? We always need His grace, but where in our lives specifically do we feel like it's just a thorn in our side? I want us to reflect, even myself, that these times we're going through right now, why are they there? Is this thorn in my side right now because it's stopping me from being prideful or conceited? Or do I just need his grace and his power to be made perfect in my weakness? No matter where you are in life, his grace is sufficient for you. His power will be made perfect in you. How do we accept that? I know I've always been told that, and sometimes I'm left with, well, I know his grace is sufficient. I know his power will be made perfect. But how can I accept that? How can I walk that out? Well, let's look back at these stories from Paul's life. We need people praying for us. We can't do this by ourselves. We need a good community of people who will pray for us and encourage us and even keep us accountable. And in these hard situations, we need to be praying and singing out to God. When these situations hit, where do we find ourselves? I can tell you most of the time, my first reaction is not to pray or to sing out to God. But if we made that our first reaction, it gets a little easier dealing with life. We need both private times and community. I want to leave you with these two verses before we close out. The first one being 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And the second verse from Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. God is faithful and just to forgive us. All we need to do is confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and to give our lives to him. And because of this, because we do this, and because God's grace saves us, we can approach God's throne boldly. The author in Hebrews doesn't say, come timidly, come shy, come scared. No, they say, come boldly before God's throne. And we know we will receive mercy and grace. So in these times where life throws everything it has at you, where you feel like there's just this thorn in your side and you keep praying, God, take this. God, take this. But what God's saying to you is that his grace is sufficient for you. His grace is enough to cover your situation, no matter what you're walking through. And he wants to pour out his grace on you. He wants his power to be made perfect in your life. So as you go about this week, remember those two lines. God's grace is sufficient for you. I know for me, a lot of times I'm like, yeah, God's grace is sufficient for this person. He loves them, but for me, I messed up too bad. I can't do this. God, there's no way God's grace is for me. God's grace is sufficient for you. It's for others, but it's for you. God wants you to know that today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And Lord, that we pray over these situations in life, whether it's anxiety, depression, work troubles, marriage troubles, whatever we're going through, Lord. Lord, may we remember and may we know this truth that your grace is sufficient for us, that your power will be made perfect in weakness. So, Lord, I pray that today and even this week as we go about our life, Lord, that we take times, that we slow down, that we give this to you, and that we understand that your grace is for us. That no matter what we're going through, it's not too big for you, Lord. That you love us, that you care for us, that you sent your son down to die and to be raised again for us so we can have a way to you, Lord. So Lord, I just pray that this truth that hits our hearts and that our ears are open to hear this, Lord. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you that we get together and look into your word, Lord. I just pray for everyone's week, Lord, that it goes well and that we see your grace in every aspect of life. As in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you're online, thank you for tuning in. Just a reminder, youth group is tonight at our apartment. Last week, since we had the pool party, is longer, but it's back to the normal time, 6 to 7:30, just so you're aware. And thank you again for coming in and worshiping alongside with us. Pray and hope you guys have a great week. Thank you.